And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by Granola's Coffee House, located on Highway 1 next to BK Motors in Half Moon Bay. Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees, fresh baked goods, and free Wi-Fi.
Feature of the Week this week is about radio. And not the kind of radio that we're talking about right now, but the amateur radio club we have here in Half Moon Bay. I'm Cindy Menzel, and I have the pleasure of talking with Neil Panton. And Neil, I see on your website you have sc4arc.org for your website. First, tell us what SC4 means, and what kind of radios are we talking about?
Okay. Thank you, Cindy. It's nice to be here. We are SC4 Amateur Radio Club. We're actually located more on the South Coast, which is the SC4. Stands for Lomamar Ham Radio and repeater systems that allow us to communicate over long distances, provide communications in emergencies, or just for fun in those neighborhoods, especially those that are largely cut off by communications, landlines, and cell phones don't often work in those areas.
You have two areas, the fun stuff, which of course I want to go there first, and then the emergency stuff, which is where we'll spend most of our time. But so tell me what some of the fun stuff the SC4 radio group does.
Well, we kind of emphasize having fun while we're training. So we hold training sessions. We participate in order to learn how to use your radio more efficiently, communicate efficiently, and also participate in events like bicycle races. We can provide communications for them. And Dream Machines, we're always involved in that every year. Half Moon Bay Marathon when it was happening. Any of those sorts of events are both fun and good training. We also just recently participated in the National Field Day, which is an opportunity for people to set up their radios in a very short period of time and antennas and make contacts with amateur radio operators all around the country and outside.
So if I want to get involved in this, or do I have to have a radio equipment to be able to participate in this?
Mostly you need to have your own. There's lots of equipment available. It's part of our club, but you do need a license. So the FCC has an exam, and we offer licensing classes.
Oh, great.
And we also offer, in conjunction with Half Moon Bay Amateur Radio Club, exams here on the coast side. So you can take classes and take your exams right here locally.
Well, that's excellent. Okay, so talk to us a little bit about the emergency. Like, if something happens here on the coast side, you said there's people who, if they have no communication available, what kicks you guys into gear? What do you do in emergency?
In an emergency, we are activated by our served agency, which is the La Honda Fire Brigade. The fire chief will give a call to our emergency coordinator and ask that any available operators report in. And if you're available, we always take care of our families and property first. But if we're available to help, we may go to the fire brigade itself and set up radios and operate from there to provide communications, or we may go remote to some areas. We have 5 mobile stations available to us. Some of them are pre-deployed. In other words, they're already in areas that we know we would like to have communications, like Lomamar and Middleton Tract and Pescadero, so we don't have to haul all the equipment out there. It's already there. But those stations, we have operators that are trained to set them up and start operating, providing communications very, very quickly. We'll stay there as long as we're needed until the situation is resolved. It's not just communications. Sometimes it's just providing good information to people. They have questions. They would like to know reliable information, and they want it to come from a trusted source. So we try to train in all of those things and provide that type of communications to the various communities.
How many people are in your club, and what are the different jobs or types of volunteerism that you have? The duties in the club, for example?
Well, we're a 501c3 nonprofit, so we have a board, but we have 9 members of the board. There's over 50 members in the club, and they participate as they like. We have a regular monthly club meeting. We have a Monday night, what they call a net, where you check in with your radio. There's a net control operator who says, please check in to the net. We operate under a net when we are activated, so it's good practice to understand how there's one person in charge. Everybody talks to that person.
Ah.
And if there's two or three or four people who want to talk, you will tell them to stand by. And then you take them one at a time in the priority and take care of the communications.
So it's the practicing staying in your lane, in this case, staying in your own net, so to speak.
Very much so. And it's really important when we are activated, because when we're working with first responders and other groups, they need to know that we know how to stay in our lane.
So, and do each of the folks on the radio, and this is me not knowing anything, do you all have names like Go Boy or...
Yes.
Are they fun names?
They are not necessarily fun names, but we all have a call sign. We have to get our FCC license. So, for example, I'm Whiskey 6 Victor Golf, W6VG. So we normally identify by that call sign. When we're activated, we have what's called a tactical. So it may represent the area or the building that we're in. For example, when I was helping with this last bicycle race, I was San Gregorio because I was Stage Road. I was San Gregorio. On Stage Road, we had a Pomponio.
So you mentioned something about a repeater, and tell me what that is, and what does that mean for those of us who are not in the ham radio business here?
Okay. Repeater does somewhat what it sounds like it does. It takes what you put into it, and it repeats it. Most people are familiar with walkie-talkies that mm-hmm. you get, and you can talk over fairly short distances. That's just line of sight. That's what we call a direct transmission. So we're just going direct, but if there's a mountain between you and that other person,
okay,
they're not going to hear you. So we put what's called a repeater on top of the mountain. So one person talks to the mountain. The mountain repeats your
message yeah.
to the other person, and it allows you to communicate over very, very long distances.
So as one of my volunteer activities, I may be acting as a repeater going up to the mountain, or do you have it up there all the time? Stationary?
It's stationary. It's up there all the time. There are temporary type repeaters that you can put up, but normally when you refer to a repeater, it's a fixed installation, and it's up somewhere high and with probably 50 or 100 watts behind it, something that's pretty beefy so that the signal can carry.
Okay. You also mentioned something about you're doing outreach for underserved communities, and I think we probably touched about it a little bit. But I presume the underserved communities are those like up in the mountains who have no cell phone service, no nothing. Is that what you're talking about? And can you talk about that a little bit more, please?
Sure. Well, there's different types of communities that are in need of communications. Some of them don't have internet connectivity. They may not have cell phones. They may be in areas where our radio signals don't get from the repeater. There's hills, a lot of hills and dales and pockets and something we sometimes call zombie zones where you just can't get a signal in there from the radio. And so it's important to try to find out what those areas are and see if we can improve our systems so that people who are in those canyons and valleys or are in communities that may be cut off from communications due to power outages or road closures or flooding, any of those sorts of things that might come up to prevent people from getting good information, we want to constantly improve our systems so that we're able to reach them.
And you encourage some of the folks who live in those canyons in those underserved areas to get involved and at least get a radio or have some of that access so they contact you?
We do that sort of outreach. We have information booths not only at the Field Day just recently, but also at La Honda Fair and Pescadero Arts and Fun Festival. Anywhere we can have some sort of public presence, we'll encourage people to get a license. But I'll tell you, the most effective way of getting people interested is, unfortunately, when something happens and they are cut off and they realize, I don't have any way to communicate in or out. I can't get good information and I can't get my needs out to somebody. So that's when we see a spike in people that are interested in getting their ham radio licenses.
I would bet. And if you're interested in getting your ham radio license, again, you've got the SC4, that's a number 4, SC4ARC, which is ARC.org. And that's what we're talking about is the ham radio licensing and everything that needs to that you need to know about that. So, Neil Panton, thank you very much for your time. This is Cindy Menzel for this feature of the week.
An interview with Neil Panton, head of the SC4 South Coast Ham Group. We should point out that in case of major emergencies, this station would rely on important information provided by this group of local ham operators to better inform coastsiders of critical unfolding events. For Radio Magazine, this is Jim Henderson.